To Daniel chapter 1, please. Daniel chapter 1. Again, we want to welcome you. We're glad that you have come today. It's always great to be in God's house on Sunday. Amen. Then again, it's great to be in God's house any day of the week. Amen. But of course, Sunday is the Lord's day, and we want to honor Him. In fact, the Bible says, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we pray that today that that will be our heart, that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in a world in which we live where worship is all about people pleasing themselves, today I believe that God is teaching us that worship is about pleasing God. Amen. And so today I pray that God will speak to your heart and will help you to understand that worship is not about what we get, it's what we give unto God.
That's right.
And we pray that God will work in our hearts in that way. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse likened than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Heavenly Father, I pray today now that as we have come here, Lord, we did not come here just to have a service. Lord, we could have a service anytime, but we came here to hear from heaven. And Father, I pray that as we will listen to you, that Lord, that we will respond in spirit and in truth. Lord, we will do what you ask us to do. And Father, if there's one here today without Christ, I pray that today that they will meet Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, I pray for a Christian today that may be holding back their dedication to you, their commitment to you. Lord, I pray you'd speak to their heart today. Father, I pray that you would make the comfortable uncomfortable. And Lord, I pray that you would make those of us who are perhaps discouraged, encouraged. Father, do a work in our lives that Lord, that will change us to be more like Christ, we pray today. We ask these things now in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Thank you.
been said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. You know, I know a lot of people today that just don't stand for anything. It's unfortunate our world has gone that way, and the saddest part is there are many Christians that don't stand for anything either. You know, the truth of the matter is we need some people who are willing to stand for Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ was willing to stand. He stood for his Father when he went to the cross and died. He stood for the souls of men because men needed a Savior. And the only person that could do that was Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for our sins. I'm glad he stood for something. Here we find in this passage a man named Daniel. Daniel's a great servant of God. Here was a man that was taken captive among many, 800 miles from his homeland, into a land of beauty, a land of spectacular beauty, a land of great allurements. Babylon is known as the ancient world, as the most worldly cosmopolitan city in Daniel's time. Beautiful city. It had one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens in Babylon. As we read about Daniel here, he is taken captive away from his homeland, all alone, away from everybody. Daniel made a decision to do right. Now, it would have been easy for Daniel to compromise. Been easy for Daniel to have given in, to just kind of gone along with everybody else. Just kind of followed the trends of what everybody else was doing around him. He could have given in to the flesh, because after all, that nobody would have known except one, God. It reminds you that God sees you. God knows what you do, and God sees everything that you do. In fact, you know, the truth of the matter is, you don't know who you are until you're all alone. When nobody else could know, and nobody else will know, whatever you do then is what you really are. But God reminds us that maybe we might think like that, that after all, that I could do whatever I want, I could get by with whatever I wanted, I could do anything I wanted to do. God reminds us of a verse in Scripture. In Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." But I want to ask you a question today. What are you standing for? I mean, what does your life stand for? What do you really stand for today? You see, God's looking for some who are willing to be counted for Christ. Some who are willing to stand and be faithful to Him and live for Him and make a difference in their homes and in their workplaces and in their schools and in the community. God is looking for some people like that. God's looking for some modern day Daniels. People are willing to do that. And I want to call your attention to verse number 8, because it focuses around what I want to target today in the message. I'm preaching on the subject stand. We sang a song about standing on the promises of God, but the question I want to ask you is, what are you standing on? Are you standing on the promises of God? Are you standing, is what I want to ask you. But look at verse number 8. The key, if we're going to stand, is what the Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart." Did you notice the word purpose? If I'm going to stand, that means that I'm going to have to make a decision, a purposed decision to stand, to live for God on purpose every day. I have to decide. I have to make a decision like Daniel did. Somewhere along the way, we have to make that decision. You see, there's some people that they just get saved and they're trying to grow and understand, you know, the great truths of the Scriptures about the Bible and how to read it and what does God say and how we're to respond to things and all of that.
But I want to tell you, that's only the starting place. There's somewhere along the way in our life that we are to make a choice, a decision, on the kind of Christian we are to be. Now, we're going to be like just the average Christian. We just kind of go along with the flow, you know, kind of like how everything happens, you know. We're just kind of floating along. Or are we going to be one that is genuinely going to live for Jesus Christ? Are we going to be committed? That means, am I going to be, you know, I've been saved. Now my commitment is get baptized. Right. And if I'm baptized, then my commitment is I'm going to be a church member. And if I'm a church member, I'm going to be a faithful church member. You know, not kind of like come to church, you know, twice a year, Christmas and Easter. But I'm going to come when the doors are open. That's commitment. There's a decision that we make. A determined decision on purpose. Daniel said, you know what? It doesn't matter if no one knows me. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter the environment I'm in. It doesn't matter how easy it would be to give in to the things of the world. I live for a higher purpose. And my purpose is to live for God. Amen.
And that's what God's looking for. Some people who will stand. Oh, our world, it's so confused. You know, have you ever noticed how the world's so dramatically changing? They're going from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. They just keep jumping around and going from, you know, it seems like people are going from marriage to job to career to home to this to that. They're looking for something, but what God is saying is, no, we need some people to say, you know what? I'm going to stop running. I'm going to stop chasing. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm just going to stand for God where I am. Amen. And that's what I believe that God is saying to us in this passage. I want to call your attention to three areas in which Daniel purposed that he was going to stand for God. Three areas. These areas are key. They're critical. Number one, notice he purposed to have a pure heart. A pure heart. What about your heart? How pure is it? Well, see, that's where it starts. In fact, it has been said the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And that's so true. Because when I look into my heart, the Bible makes it very clear that my heart is the beginning place of where this purpose is going to matter the most. You see, God says that, number one, that if my heart is pure, that means that it's pure because it's my relationship with God that's going to matter. I want my heart to be pure in my relationship with God. That means that I realize that religion cannot take me to heaven. I do not go to heaven because I'm a religious person. It's kind of funny because, you know, when you travel, you know, like in different places of the world and being like, you know, recently just, you know, come back from Japan and being over there, you know, people say, oh, you're a religious person, right? No, I'm not a religious person. You know, religion's not it. See, religion is just in a sense of man to get connected with God. That's what religion is. But Christianity is not religion. Christianity is a relationship. Amen. It's a relationship with the Holy God through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the difference. Religion can be, you know, some people can be religious about all the wrong things. I mean, I've seen some people that are very religious. In fact, when I was in Kyoto, I was walking around in Kyoto. We were able to go up and we walked around and looked just a little bit. And we saw there were some people that were very religious about Buddhism. And they were bowing down and they were putting money into these different prayer places. And people, as they were bowing down, praying that somehow or another that Buddha would deliver their family from illnesses and sicknesses and all of that. And it broke my heart. They're sincerely religious. But religion is not what God's looking for. He's looking for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. If my heart's going to be pure, it needs to be purified by Jesus Christ.
And that's what we're talking about here. And Daniel said, you know, I realize that if I'm going to have my heart's going to be pure, it's going to start with God. It's not that I can clean my life up. I can't purify myself. If I could do that, well, Jesus Christ would have never come to this earth. Right. He came to this earth because I could not do it myself. I needed Jesus Christ to cleanse me and make me clean and whole again. That's the beginning of a changed heart. And it's interesting because over and over in the Bible speaks of the fact that I'm in Christ, in Him, in Christ. No longer am I in myself, but I'm placed in the person of Jesus Christ. Though Daniel could have eaten the pagan foods and indulged in the pleasures of Babylon, he chose to make sure that his relationship was right with God because he wanted to have a pure heart. But then notice something else in this passage. His actions before God were that's what he was most concerned about. He would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to think for a moment. What was, if you were a Jewish Israelite that lived in Daniel's day, what were you forbidden to eat? What was the one type of meat you could not eat? Pork. They were forbidden to eat pork. According to the Jewish law, you could not eat pork. And God said, no, that's unacceptable. And it looks like, from what we can read, and I've studied this passage up many, many times, trying to understand, what is God saying? Does that mean that you know, when he was there, he's being served pork? More than likely. But there were other foods that were being served to him, and he knew that he could not eat that type of food. He made a choice. He said, I can't. But wait, hold on. Who would have even known? Well, he's away from his family. He's away from his surroundings. Well, nobody would have ever known. Who would have known? God. He wanted to make sure that his actions were right before God. Even if nobody else would have known, God would have known. And that was what he was concerned most about. You see, our relationship with God should be one of the greatest concerns that we have in life. I want my relationship to be right with God, and so does Daniel. He refused to eat that which God strictly had forbidden. He knew that this relationship with God was more important than some simple pleasure he could have enjoyed. He did not want to violate the will of God in his life. How about you? Where are you with your walk with God? Is your heart pure? You see, if there's something between me and God, that means my heart's not pure. I want my heart to be pure. I want to be right with God. And you say, well, how do we do that? Well, we come to God, and the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to tell you this, you can be clean before God. It's wonderful to know that God forgives us right where we are. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I got to get better. And, you know, maybe I'll just kind of wait. And, you know, next week, you know, Pastor, you know, I hear this message, and I know I need to go out of here and maybe live a different life this week, and I'm going to get better. You know, why don't you just start today with having your life totally clean right before God, and God will give you the power to get better. That's the starting place. And Daniel said, oh, I just want a pure heart. Lord, if there's anything, I want my heart to be pure and right. That's the starting place. That's how we stand. But that's only the beginning. He wanted his heart to be pure. But then secondly, I notice in the passage that if Daniel is teaching me one way is to have purpose in my heart, to have a pure heart. The second way is to purpose to have a proper testimony. Look at verse number 9. I call your attention to verse number 9. The Bible says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. You see, the Bible says that we are to purpose to have a good testimony. Now, I don't know about you, but do you realize that we are living in a pagan society? Right. Honestly, I believe America is a pagan society. We are not a culture that is Bible-driven. You know, we know very little about the Bible. Now, we may live in a religious culture, but it's not certainly a Bible-oriented culture. And so because we are living in that kind of culture, you know what? The world is crying out for people who will stand on what they believe to be as right. Very few would like to say, you know what? I did that. I'll confess up to that. Yes, that's me. Yes, that's, yes. I believe in God. Yes, I carry my Bible. Yes, I pray. Yes, I'm going to do that. You say, how do you know that? Because it's amazing to me how many Christians go out and go to McDonald's or these restaurants and they never pray over their food. Because they're embarrassed. They think, well, you know, I don't do that's what I do at home. Wrong-o.
Right.
We should always pray over our food, whether we eat out anywhere, wherever we are. If God provides the food, we should pray and thank God for it.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people get the idea that you know, that somehow or another we got to hide our Christianity from the world. Oh, no, I think we need to live it before the world. The Bible says that he purposed to have a good testimony. Now notice something interesting here in verse number 9. The Bible says that God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Do you realize that the reason why that he could have a proper testimony was because God gave him the ability to have a proper testimony? How can we live that Christian life? How can we live out here like this? You know, Pastor, you don't realize how easy it is. Oh, yes, I do. I live in the same world you do. It's easy to push a button on a computer. It's easy to turn on a television set and turn to something we should not watch. It's easy to go out here and get fall right into sin. Very, very easy in society. Years ago, I remember it used to be, you know, you had to look for it. Now it's looking for you. Sin is everywhere. It abounds. That's because we live in a pagan world, a pagan society. And what God is saying is that if we are going to live a Christian life that's pleasing to the Lord, whether we're at church or at work or anywhere we are, the Bible makes that very clear that we need to have God's power to be able to do that. And so, he was given the ability from God to be able to live in this pagan society and serve God and please God. You and I can have that. It's there for us. The Bible says that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that when I go out of my home or go to my workplace, and even though they may bug me and get me angry and I just think I just want to choke the daylights out of them in Christian love, that I can live for God. There's no doubt about it, I can live for God. God never asks us to do anything that he does not provide the ability to be able to do. Have a good testimony. Daniel had a good testimony before Melzar. God had given him the ability. But you know something else? Notice this. He had not only given him the ability, and it's outlined in verse number 9, but I noticed something else, that God had given him the approval. Melzar had the approval. Did you notice there? He says, God had given him favor. I looked at that word favor. I want to understand that. That means that when he looked at Daniel, he thought of Daniel and said, you know, now there's someone that is a man of integrity and honesty. You realize that Daniel was a man of integrity?
Yes.
You see, a man of integrity is a man who, when you think about it, he's a person who is, he's that way at home. He's the same at home. He's the same at work. He's the same at church. He's the same in his community. You know, he's not living multiple lives. He lives one life. And that life is always pleasing to God. Because God gives him the ability. And the truth of the matter is, as God gives him the ability, God also gives him the divine approval. That divine approval was given to him. God looked down and he saw this man of integrity, and God saw that he was a man who was willing to live by his convictions. Now, this is where the standing part comes in, living by your convictions. Your convictions are things that you believe. These are predetermined choices or judgments that you make on what you will or will not do. For example, one of the choices that I made in my life based on the Bible is I will not lie. We should never lie. You mean even white lies, Pastor? No lies. We should never lie. That should be a conviction. That means that when you go to work, that you don't lie. Even if your boss says, if you don't lie, if you don't file that false report, you're fired. Say, my resignation. Don't lie. God's not going to honor a person who tells lies who's not a man of integrity. You know, a person that lives by convictions. I mean, I have certain convictions, and we all have sort of our set of, you know, predetermined choices that we make, that we decide that based, and it should be biblical, that I'm going to go by. Here's another conviction I have. God is God. Amen. And I'm going to leave it all up to Him on the decisions. When I obey God, I'm going to let God take care of the rest. My responsibility and my conviction is that I'm just going to obey God. You say, but what if people don't like it? I'm not, that's not my conviction. My conviction, I'm not a politician. I'm a Christian. Now, I'm going to live by what God says. I want to make that choice. And every day I have to get up and say, dear God, you know, make it easy for me to do right and hard for me to do wrong. Lord, I want to live by your obedience. I want to honor you in my life, and maybe no one else in the whole community, or no one else in my family, or no one else around me will understand. But Lord, I want to so live for you that you would be honored and glorified, because that's my conviction. The Bible said that when that happens, then God will give his approval, his divine approval. I don't know about you, but I have learned something about approvals. The world will never applaud a godly Christian. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather be known in heaven than known on earth. Amen. You know, when you think about it, that's a pretty amazing truth. I wonder when we get to heaven, I wonder what will happen when we get there. I'm going to tell you this, it'll matter the most when you live for God when you get to heaven. If you stood for something, if you stood for God and stood and lived for God while you're on earth, when you get to heaven, it's going to be a wonderful, great reunion. But what happens if you don't? It's going to be pretty embarrassing, isn't it? You stand before God and God says, you know, I put you in that workplace and you could have lived for me, but you didn't. You went along with the filthy jokes and you cursed like everybody else and you acted like everybody else. And by the way, if someone were to say, that's a Christian, they'd say, oh, no, they can't be. You got to be kidding me. They live like that. Certainly it will be known. It'd be an embarrassing time. But boy, if you decide today, right now, you say, you know, you can't change the past, but if you say right now, today, you know, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I want to be right before God. I want to decide that. I want to be like Daniel, that I'm not going to go along with the allurements of the world and give in to the pleasures of the world, but I'm going to stand for God. I tell you, when you stand before God one day, it's going to be a wonderful thing to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't think Daniel even began to realize what God had planned for him when he decided to live for God. Because when you read the rest of Daniel, you find that God took Daniel from that young boy who was taken captive, who decided to live for God and refused to defile himself with the king's meat, and God brought him before leaders, and he became a great leader in the nation. Even when he was taken captive, he was still a leader among those who were taken captive. I don't think Daniel ever even thought about that. He left that up to God. That was all up to God. All his job to do was to obey God. And look, today I want to tell you something. Your relationship with God, God is saying to you and I, let's just determine to obey God. Let's stand for God. So Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel had purpose number two, to have a proper testimony. But let me give you the third point I want you to notice here. He had purpose to have not only a proper testimony, but to have a powerful faith. This is the key. Verses 10 through 12 tells us about that. What he said was, I know that it's not right for me to eat this kind of food. And so what I want to do is, he says, I want you to keep all of that food, and I want you to bring me the food that I can eat. Now, I can kind of relate to that. I just came from that. There are certain things I just can't eat.
biblical convictions. Mayonnaise, I don't eat. You have to read that in Hebrew. Mushrooms, I don't eat. Man, the amens are really weak today. I can see that. You guys are mushroom and mayonnaise people. I've failed you, church. I'm sorry. But Daniel said, you know, I can't eat that. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring me what I can eat. Bring me the healthy foods. But Melzar, he was concerned because he thought, if I bring you healthy foods, guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose weight. You're going to be thinner. You're not going to look like everybody else. And so, you know, you're going to look almost like you're sick. And I'm going to get in trouble and I could die because I'm not taking care of you. And all of that. And Daniel said, oh, no, you don't understand. I have a God in heaven who's going to take care of that. Because I know that my God is able to take care of me. Here's what he said. It wasn't, by the way, it wasn't Melzar's idea. It was Daniel's idea. Daniel said, you know what? I have a God that's so big and so powerful that no matter what I eat, God will take care of me. All I'm asking to do is to let God have his way for 10 days and show you what he can do. You see, his faith was living faith. His faith was not something that just, okay, well, you know, I know that I'm going to go to heaven because I know Christ, and I know that that's a blessing. I'm going to go to heaven. But until then, I'll just kind of live like on the earth, just like everybody else does around me, and I'll just kind of trust that God's going to get me to heaven. That's how a lot of people live. A lot of people say, you know, that faith in Jesus Christ is good enough to get me to heaven, but not every day. I mean, I can't live like that. I want to tell you something. That kind of faith is a living faith every day. James says it like this. James says in James chapter 2, I'm sorry, Hebrews 11 says it like this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what are we talking about? What kind of faith? Well, that kind of faith is the kind of faith that James 2 says. Here's what it says. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What's he saying? Here's what James is saying. James is saying, you know, the truth of the matter is, as a Christian, I live out my Christian life every day in faith. Paul says, for we walk by faith, not by what? So every day when I'm out here living in this world and I know Jesus Christ, it's not just it's good enough to get me to heaven, but I have a living, vibrant, thriving faith that will take me through everything that I face in life. I lose my job, God's going to take me through that. I go through a hard time physically, God's going to take me through that. I have some emotional distresses in my life, God's going to take care of me through that. God is going to take care of every aspect of my life. Why? Because I have a living faith. That's what Daniel says. My faith is real. And I'm going to tell you something. My faith is real too. I believe God's going to get that parking lot built.
Amen.
I believe that God's going to do a great work here in our church, in Calvary Baptist Church. I really believe that. Because my faith is in God. Not in man, but in God. He believed, first of all, in God's word. That's what it is. That's what faith is. Man would offer him that he might eat these other foods. He said, no, I'm living by what God says. Verse number 12, I'm going to live according to what God says and believe God, and God's going to take care of it. Look, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have faith to believe that God's going to take care of your life, then you don't have faith. I believe that God's going to take care of us. Amen? Look, if God can take me to heaven, God certainly can take care of my life down here, can't he? That's what James says. And that's what Daniel says. Daniel says, you know, God, I believe your word. I believe you're going to take care of every one of my needs. I believe you're going to care for me. I believe you're going to look out for me. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I believe that, Lord, as long as I honor you and stand for you, that you'll take care of the results in this life. He believed in God's word. But then notice something else. He believed in God's will.
Walking in God's will is the pathway of the godly man. In fact, the truth of the matter is, if you walk in God's will, there's no option. You just know it's God's will. You want to do God's will. Now, having just come back from Japan and was over there spending time with the missionaries, it was amazing to me how I was meeting these guys that were there. One man had been there over 20 years, labored faithfully, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out. By the way, in Japan, it's challenging. The culture, the language, just learning the language is like a milestone. And then learning the culture, trying to overcome that for a missionary, it's very, very difficult. And I remember sitting there in the room with those missionaries, and I'll have a video to show you some of that later. But they were sitting around this room and this table there, and they were just sharing with me about how the difficulty of the and challenge of being a missionary in Japan is, not because of the country itself, but the culture and trying to reach the people the gospel. And one man was telling me this. He says, you know, Pastor, he says, I've been here over 20 years. He said, we have a church. Now listen, they have a church building that is debt-free, and they have land debt-free in Japan. That is mega, mega big. He says, our church, he said, I've been here, he says, 18 years. And here's what he said. He said, we're running 30. He said, in fact, we were running more, but two or three people left. I have nobody to turn the work over to. That man's going to be here in May. He's coming back for his daughter's graduation at West Coast Baptist College. He asked me if he could come, and I said, sure. We want to encourage him. It's tough. It's difficult, but I want to tell you this. He believed it was God's will for him to be there. No turning back. No turning back. Jesus believed it was God's will for him to go to the cross. There was no turning back. Aren't you glad he went to the cross and died? He did what God called him to do. Daniel said, it's God's will for me to obey God. I'm not turning back. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to fall into the trap of going into the Babylonian culture and the Babylonian captivity and or Babylonian way of life. He said, even though I'm captive, he says, I'm going to live for God even as a captive man in a wicked country like Babylon. He says, I'm going to stand. Look, this morning, God wants every one of us in this room to decide we're going to stand in this wicked culture. I'm going to tell you this. This society in which we live is not friendly to a believer. We live in a hostile culture to Christ. You know, you can have all the religion you want, but when you start standing up and claiming the name of Jesus Christ, now you're going to start having problems. The truth of the matter is, we need some people that are willing to stand. We need some Christians to stand in some churches of America too. I know about you, but I'm kind of sickened by what I see going on in what they call worship in churches. I'm watching churches that are just kind of just falling apart. What they're doing is they're just like opening the door and saying, come on in, world, show us how to do it. Can I tell you something about worship? Let me help you to learn and understand. I mentioned a little earlier about God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know what that means? That means the fact is that we're here to honor God and to worship him. We're not here to entertain. This is not a place of entertainment. This is a place of worship. And worship is not what you get, it's what you give. And I want to give honor and glory to him. That's what Daniel said. I'm not here on this earth to get. I'm here to give to God, to what God wants. And I have a whole series coming up on worship I want to preach on here. But I just want to help you to understand something. That God says we have to purpose in our heart to stand. What are you standing for today? I'll be honest with you. I think our church, we're trying to make a decision. We've made a decision already where we stand. 50-some years ago when our church was started in 1955, there was a decision that with this church said it's going to stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to commit to get the gospel to the entire world. It's committed to help grow Christians in their walk with God. It's committed to be a church that develops people who live a holy Christian life. And what we need are some people to say, you know what, that's what I want to stand with you, Pastor. But more important of all, not so much with me, but I want to stand with God in this world, in this church, for Him. Our community is looking for it. Our community is looking for it. They're looking for people like that. They're looking for people to say, you know, I don't want a church that's just where it's filled with hypocrites. I'm looking for a church that's filled with God's people. May God help us today to stand. What are you standing for? I trust you're standing for Him. Let's pray. It all starts